Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening in the stars above for this week. The third full week of September. It's actually week four or five in our human design, week five in our human design week. Those weeks go by faster. And it is also the first day of the Pleiadian Earth Energy Week. So we have a beginning of a 13-day cycle. As well, we have the beginning of the Human Design Week. We have the beginning of a new sign that the moon will be in. That'll happen a little bit later on this afternoon. And let's see, anything else new? Well, I guess that's probably enough, right? It's the beginning of a week, which means we have the entire week to look at. And this week is not going to be one that I think we will look back at and go, OMG, what happened? Because this is the week where we end up with the gates of love being the two of the gates that the energies are sitting at. So there are four gates of love, right? The love of the self, the love of humanity, the love of spirit, and the love of being in the body, so the physical. Today, we begin a week with the love of the physical and the love of spirit or universal love, and that makes this week a pretty darn good week. So what we'll do this morning is we'll take a look at where the moon is now and where it's heading for later in the day. We'll take a look at the major aspects of the day, and then we'll also take a look at the week ahead, the Pleiadian Earth energy, and the human design energy. So let's get to it, shall we? We got lots to talk about. First, let me just open by saying our hearts go out to the Ginsburg family, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, such an icon of our age, and to lose her is just heart-wrenching, right? She was such a great role model, and she really did her job well, and I think she can go to the other side knowing she did exactly what she came here to do. After all, isn't that what we all want as we pass on out of this world, to think that we did exactly what we came here to do? So blessings to her and her family, and let's hope that peace prevails in the process of selecting another person to the Supreme Court here in the USA. I hope everybody had a great weekend. To me, it just went so fast. It was not a bad weekend. It was good. Got lots of things done. I felt sort of empowered to do several different things this weekend, which makes me happy. The one thing I didn't get to do was to do what I really wanted to do, which was to change my house over into fall decor. I just never got the chance. I started to do it and then something else would come up and I'd be like, oh yeah, I have that to do. And so I just never got to that. Maybe today, which is a good thing, because as we look ahead at the week, we see that today we only have minor aspects happening, but tomorrow is the first day of autumn or the first day of spring, depending on what hemisphere you're living in. And that means for us in the northern hemisphere, our days are getting shorter. I'm sure you've noticed that it's getting darker early, and it's also darker in the morning. When I first get up at 6, it's like, I don't want to get up. It's still dark. And for those of you in the southern hemisphere, you're noticing your days getting longer, and that is the way of the world, right? That things are changing. So we have our autumn equinox tomorrow at 6:30 a.m. Pacific time, 9:30 a.m. then for those of you on the East Coast. That is marked by the sun's movement out of Virgo and into Libra. So tomorrow we'll be talking about more about Libra, more about what we can expect in the equinox, the 3-month period of time known as autumn. It will be jam-packed, to be sure, right? There's lots going on, both in the outer world as well as through the aspects astrologically. And there'll be a lot for us to chat about during that period of time. Other big things this week, Mercury in a square to Saturn. That means we're going to have to be minding our words as we go on through the week. And we also have Mercury then later opposing Mars. So Mercury opposing Mars, watching our words, watching our minds. And then on Friday, the 25th, the moon in Capricorn conjuncts all of those Capricorn, the Capricorn bunch, I call them. And so that changes up some energies for us as well. And on Sunday, we have Mercury moving into Scorpio. That will change up the energy of our mind. So while Mercury is in the later degrees of Libra, then we are having that these squares that happen from Libra to Capricorn and an opposition from Libra over to the planets in Aries. And this week is when we see quite a few of those happening. So watching your words, watching your mind. Yesterday we had the planet Mercury in a square to the planet Pluto. So we had some deep thinking perhaps that we were engaged in. Hopefully it didn't equate to power struggles in your life. So we have four key things going on then that kind of imbue this week with speech, with mind, communication of all sorts. So watch what you're saying and how you're saying what you're saying. Okay. And pretty much that's it for the big week, right? As we look ahead, that's the biggest things for the week. Mercury moving into Scorpio in the weekend will kind of gives us an idea of where things are going in terms of our minds and our communication. Scorpio is a sign of deep intensity and passion, and it is also very emotional. So we'll have some emotional thinking, some emotional speeches, some things that are connecting us to perhaps things that we have to change, right? That's very transformational energy. And I will talk more about that as the week goes on as well. Let me stop in and say good morning real quickly to everybody out there that's checking in with us. Hello, Asa and Mimi. Good morning, Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel, my football partner yesterday as we watched the Seahawks and the Patriots play. It was fun. And it would have been more fun if we were sitting side by side, huh, Debbie? But, we do what we can. Good morning, Tati. Good morning, Jennifer Peachy. Good morning, Ingrid and Camilla and Sylvester. It's great to see you. He says, sending love and positive vibes. Love that. And Augustina, good morning. And Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel, yes, an amazing woman. Yes, she was. And she will be long remembered and very much missed. Amy Energy, good morning to you. So it's good to see everybody popping in and saying hello. Let's go and talk about what is going on with the moon today. Right now, the moon is in the sign of Scorpio, where it will be until later on this afternoon. That means we're changing signs. That means we're also going into the void. The void is a fairly short one, maybe about an hour and so many minutes long. I'm not even going to try to add those up. But the moon will go into the void at 11:13 a.m. my time. So 2:13 p.m. for those of you on the East Coast. 12:31, it will emerge out of the void and into the sign of Sagittarius. That is lightening up our energy a bit, but turning it in a different direction, one that's more exploring, more adventurous, more in the on the hunt for the capital T truths. And that doesn't happen again until 3:31 p.m. for those of you on the East Coast. So for a good chunk of the day, the moon is sort of wandering around between that Scorpio and Sagittarius energy. But before he moves into the void, or she moves into the void, she being the moon, we are having three sextile energies between the moon and Pluto, the moon and Saturn, and the moon and the sun. So we have good energy. A sextile is a 60-degree relationship between the planets that indicates that their gifts and their talents and their natural affinities go well together, that they mesh, if you will. So we have earth and water working well together as we move through the day, up until at least the void. The first sextile is to Pluto, and there's an ease and flow here with power. And with transformation energy, where we're willing to create win-win situations rather than the typical power struggles of anything that the moon has to do with Pluto. So this one indicates that we're going to try to get along together, that we're willing to give and to take, right? And to just be able to yield a little and get more ground, yield some more, and be able to create that win-win space for everybody. A little bit after that, the moon will come into a sextile with Saturn. And even this one, this connotes stability and sort of a strong foundation kind of energy. It's not very emotional though, right? This is the ability to step back from the emotions a bit. It's not that you're not feeling emotions, but we're less likely to gush or less likely to be triggered angrily. That doesn't mean that some people out there won't be triggered, but for the most part, we are able to support one another emotionally and not necessarily have emotional gushing, if you will. The sextile to the sun by the moon a little bit later on this afternoon is the last, or this morning for me, is the last aspect that the moon will make before she moves into the void. So we're left with the sextile. And here is about where we are getting along, right? This is the energy of getting along, where we're able to see each other's points of view, perhaps. We're able to have our emotions on board with our ego, where the ego isn't fighting the emotions, nor are the emotions fighting the ego. So it feels like a little bit of equanimity, a feel-good sort of aspect. Yay, we deserve that, because a lot of times the moon goes into the void, especially it seems like lately, and we're left with a Saturn or a Mars or a Pluto, which then, you know, for hours, however long that void is, we're left with that feeling of transformation or anger or upset. But today we should be left with this feeling of we can all get along. We got this, right? We got each other's backs. We have support for one another, love for one another. And that's absolutely appropriate, I think, to the fact that we've moved into a new human design week, all about love, right? So it's about love. Let's take a quick look then at what we can expect as the moon transits into Sagittarius a little bit later today. Sagittarius, of course, a fire sign ruled by the planet Jupiter. So there's often a connection between luck and Sagittarius, right? So being in the right place at the right time with the right people for the right opportunity comes up often with the moon in Sagittarius. It is the adventurous philosopher. I'm going to start naming the different moons. I like that idea. So the adventuring philosopher kind of gives us this idea that we're on a quest for something. What's the quest? The quest in Sagittarius energy is for truth, the capital T kind, not the little truths, the illusionary ones, but the big T, capital T truths, right? And that encompasses our philosophy. It encompasses our religious beliefs. It is where we are really looking and searching in our own lives, embarking on our own hero's quest, if you will, for those truths, right? The truth of who I am, the truth of what I'm here to do, who am I here to be, what's my life purpose, all of that type of thing is this quest for truth. Sagittarius also has quite a connection to the natural world. So being out in nature and connecting with those natural cycles of time to the very natural world, the way living naturally, living in balance, living in that sort of timing of everything happens in the right and perfect timing according to the natural cycles of time. This is very intuitive as well. I think even for Sagittarius, often they become more intuitive, more in tune when they're out in nature. It's almost that feeling of being out with their toes in the sand or their feet in the grass, or even if they're in water, somehow grounds them and enables them to be able to move forward to find their truth. So for all of us, finding that peace of mind, that knowing of who we are and where we belong and what we're doing comes when we are connected to the natural world for these next few days. Adventure, of course, a big word that goes along with Sagittarius. The adventure is often spontaneous. This is a sign that can decide to go on the backpacking trip for the weekend, and they just go out exploring. This is also a connection to foreign travel. And right now, a lot of that is curbed because of COVID, but it doesn't mean that we can't explore via our computers, laptops, phones, right? Maybe looking at a different language. It's really great in the mornings when I turn my computer on, Bing sets my desktop with these beautiful pictures. This morning it was someplace in Bulgaria. And so I live often via these beautiful scenes that come up from all different places around the world. And that's part of that Sagittarius experience as well, enlarging your viewpoint by seeing what more there is in the world than what you have just in front of you. Sagittarius also has a connection to the law, right? This is the law in terms of attorneys, lawsuits, the ethics and morals, the morality that goes into the judicious use of the law, the equal use of justice under the law, the court proceedings that take place, as well as the conscience of the law. Now, there's a lot going on in the world right now around law, law and order, right? We hear that a lot. What is the law? What are the laws applied equally? These are big concepts that are occurring in our world at the moment that really have their roots back in the fact that Jupiter is in Capricorn and that the Capricorn bunch, if you will, has really had us focusing on several things, but one of them being laws, as this time period is sort of equivalent to the time period way back in time, like, you know, in the pre, what was it, 1600 BCE, where the laws of Hammurabi were first set up, which were the laws that sort of tried to establish an equal application of the laws to all levels of society, right? Where it wasn't so much like it had been there at that time as well, where if you were noble or if you were wealthy, that the laws applied to you in one way. And if you were not, the laws applied to you in a different way. So those laws established an equal footing, an equal grounding under the law that worked well for a while. And then, of course, over time, as greed overtook the planet, as that shadow of greed, we end up with laws that are not equally applied, right? If you have money, you can buy your way out of anything. We all know this. It is like this unspoken reality that we've lived, but it is not the spirit of the law, right? The law was initially established to establish a level playing field. So we'll see that more and more. Are the laws applied equally? And is it equal application to all races, to all people, no matter what their financial situation is, etc.? So that's very Sagittarian energy as well. Now, Jupiter and its placement as the ruler of Sagittarius brings optimism into the picture as well. Faith, good luck, being a generous spirit, all comes through the sign of Sagittarius. Higher education, our connection to mentors or teachers, college and university level education, our seeking and finding answers to life's bigger questions, all come in with Sagittarius energy, the moon kind of focusing our emotions, our life cycle in that direction. Now, of course, we always have things that we need to watch for because there's a spectrum of energies, right? The continuum that begins in the high positive, goes into the neutral, and then comes down into the more negative expressions. And Sagittarius as a sign can be rather careless at times. They remind me of manifesting generators who are going so fast and who are juggling so many different things that it's always possible that something's going to slip through the cracks, right? Or they're going to miss the one step that would have made everything spectacular. And instead, it's on rocky ground. So we have to watch in our own lives where we might be careless. Self-righteousness, another one of the more negative expressions of Sagittarius, as when they find what they believe is their capital T truth, they become rather strong in their belief that they're absolutely right and that everybody else is absolutely wrong. That becomes with, say, religious fervor, with any belief system, actually, any belief system where you think you are absolutely right, that everyone else is wrong and deluded. That's where you know that you've become deluded and that those should be the warning bells where you need to look at, whoa, 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 whoa. Where am I not seeing the whole picture, the whole truth, right? I've only picked a piece of the truth and I've made it mine. So looking for the bigger truths helps you stay out of self-righteousness. Sagittarius is the one sign too that takes and makes a lot of assumptions. And you know about assumptions, right? It makes an ass out of you and me. Never assume. And of course, there's always the blunt talk that comes with Sagittarian energy. Honesty, yes. Bluntness, not necessarily something that people will accept from you. And remembering our wisdom from human design that says we don't speak unless we have the invitation to do so. Even if you have a defined throat and you're defined to speak, it's much better. You're more recognized, heard, your ideas more valued when you wait for the invitation to speak. So blunt talk would not be favorable, but honesty would be. But even honesty has to be expressed in the moment that you are invited to do so, right? So no calling out people for what they're dressed as or with their words or what they're doing, unless you've been invited to share that information from them. In the body, Sagittarius rules the hips and the liver, which is interesting, I think, thighs, the upper legs. Issues like sciatica also come through the moon in Sagittarius. So there we have sort of the big synopsis of what's going on for the next few days. But today we also have a sort of minor aspect pattern that's developing. And we have a couple of them this week with the planet Venus. Venus rules finances, our relationships, love, our values, right? So Venus is a planet that's very important in how we see ourselves in the world, right? How we put ourselves out there to the world. So twice this week, once with Jupiter and later with Neptune, she's going to be in what we call a quincunx. And that is a 150 degree relationship, which sort of connotes a bit of scritchiness, right? That irritation, tension that's below the surface that we don't often know exactly. Well, that's what's bugging me. Because it really requires us to keep adjusting and modifying and sacrificing something. And so we have this need to sort of keep moving forward, but it might be a dance of stepping forward, then stepping back, stepping forward twice, stepping back once, sort of the two steps forward, one step back, always adjusting and modifying our approach, what we're doing, who we're doing that with, where are we going, all of those kinds of things. Now, Venus is in a quincunx with Jupiter. So we have the two benefic planets that we think of, right? The ones that connote good things for us, growth and expansion through Jupiter, and love and good relationships through Venus. So when these two kind of are dancing in a difficult aspect, it kind of dampens down how we feel, how optimistic we feel about how things are going in the world. And in this one, we want more. We want more from our lives. We want to know that what we're doing is the right thing. We want to know that we're on the right track, but we don't know what we truly want. We don't know what we want, but we know we want more. Can you see the problem inherent there? And that's made even a little more difficult with Mars in retrograde in the sign of Aries, where we are already reliving a lot of our revisioning, reliving, reevaluating where it is we want to go, what it is we want to do, because we're bumping up against places where we can't seem to move forward. Well, maybe the real question is then, what do you really want? If you can't move forward in the way that you thought you wanted to go, or if life has thrown you that stop sign or that block, that limit, then it might be helping you, right? There's a benefit here. It's stopping you from going headlong in the wrong direction. So the question then really is, what do I really want? It's funny because it's been a message I've been giving people last week and will probably have to keep giving this week, is about getting aligned with your dream, getting aligned with your vision, re-aspecting all of those things, you know, revisiting everything that you thought you wanted to do, right? There's a lot of things I think that come up, and especially now when we're going to have the moon in Sagittarius with all of these opportunities that may be cropping up while Mars is retrograde, also telling us you can't go there yet. You have to sort of look at what is true for you and what is not. We are spending a lot of time revisioning, reimagining. What do you want? Right? So a lot of times I'm telling people, Get back to your dream boards, to your vision boards. You know, allow your mind to sort of drift into, you know, new areas or into the older areas, right? Sometimes we've had the dream. We know what we want, but life put us on the track to not get it or put us on a track to go in the opposite direction. Here's your chance to course correct, right? We want comfort and steadiness on one hand during this transit, yet we're also wanting to go further, to expand and explore. So we're tied, we're between that safety, comfort over here and that discomfort, but I got to move in that direction. Life seems to be pushing me over there. And that's part of this quincunx at all. And our relationships, of course, present challenges to us, right? As with those same sort of tension things pop up, the tension of what I want versus what that person wants. Maybe you shifted and started to move in the direction of your significant other, or that person shifted to go with you, but maybe you don't even know where you're going. So a lot to consider in this very minor aspect, supposedly, that's going on. And these minor aspects are often those little, you know, those the itch that you can't reach, right? The thing that just is annoying, but you can't, you know, like a paper cut or a hangnail seems so small, so minor, but the fact that it's on a very nerve ending filled part of your body means that it's going to be annoying. So we have this annoying, scritchy, irritable, tension filled energy that is helping us to find a direction that we really want to move in. That's its purpose. Not to hurt you, not to make you feel upset or bad or angry, but to really get on board. Remember, all of this time that we're in right now is about really getting clear from an emotional respect where it is that we're out of alignment with what's true and correct for us as individuals. So when you're noticing anger or upset or discontent, right? Any of that type of energy, it's got to be that a call from deep inside of you that you're not facing the right direction or that you're not doing the right things. It's not about the other person that you feel like might be triggering that for you. It's not about the situation triggering it for you. It's all in your response or your reaction most times to what life is presenting you. So remembering that everything that is popping up in every moment in every day is really about you keeping yourself in alignment with where it is you're meant to be moving. It sounds so easy when I say that, but the experience of living it that way can be a little bit different, right? Because we have these minds and the mind starts to tell you all kinds of different things, stories, if you will. So we have to learn to let go of the mind and really get into our bodies. That's the main energy of this week. Can we get into the love that we are experiencing when body and soul are aligned, heart and mind aligned? All right. Questions, comments. Oops, I keep forgetting to look over here. Okay, I'm not seeing anything. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Let me go over here to, thank you, J-Lo, for saying that. She says, if you're liking the video, hit the thumbs up button. Please subscribe. I'm getting over that hump. I need to get that done. That's like this big goal I've had. All right, let's see what else is out here this morning. J-Lo, good morning, by the way. I'm not sure if I said that to you earlier. Rueda, good morning. Leilani, good morning. And Ursula, hello there. And Leilani says, I got a little too much truth this weekend. Ooh, I'm good on Sagittarius. I see tears there. Sometimes that might be a good thing, right? A sort of purging of all that's been held within you. And remember, we've had the moon in Scorpio for a good chunk of the weekend. That's a purging sign, right? That's a sign of transformation, letting go of the old, the heavy baggage, the you know, I was going to say the shit. I didn't know if I could say that, but I'm going to, and letting it get, you know, released from us. So we sometimes aren't very comfortable in that, but it is worthwhile. And they keep saying, I have a traffic jam with the kids being in school. Oh, likely because you need more bandwidth or something for your internet. That's the one thing about all the kids being at home and at school. My daughter has all the kids at her house they're all on the internet, you know, high school, middle school. No, we don't have any middle schoolers anymore. They're all high school or elementary, and they're on Zoom, right? And they're taking up bandwidth. On top of that, my daughter works from home, so she's also taking up bandwidth, and Zoom is getting a little bit scritchy there because of that. So we need more bandwidth. Kimberly Eberhardt, good morning to you. Pauline, good morning. Lost track of time. Well, we're glad you found us. And welcome to Pauline, Leilani says, and she says as well, ugh, I've been trying to upload some tarot readings, but for some reason I am so stuck. Just sit back and relax, right? Here's an example of where we're trying to push something out. I know you want to get your tarot readings out, but maybe there's some reason why right now it's not possible, right? Take a look back at the readings. Is there something off? Is there something wrong? Is it not in the right format? Just take the moment to see where it is the universe is pushing you in the moment, right? Maybe it's pushing you to relax. You've been working too hard. Always be asking, you know, if you're keep bumping up against something, even if it is like a technology glitch, what is opening up for me right now? All right. So, Sylvester, thank you very much for sharing me every time you are on. I love that. Thank you very much. And I'm just terrified of hitting record. Ooh, Leilani. That's funny. I hit record all the time and then I worry. Yeah, I gotcha. All right, so let's take a look now at the, should we go to human design? Let's do the Pleiadian earth energy because today is our one day. Yesterday we were at 13, so we should have all had some time for contemplation and moving into the void and taking stock of how it is that we had done over the previous 13 days. And what it is that we learned from all of that, what is left to learn from all of that, what was our experience like in that self-regulating energy where we had to become responsible for our own actions, our own words, and our own deeds. So how was that, right? That's what the 13 brings us to. Now it is new beginnings. This is initiating energy here we have today. This is the blending of possibility and intention, and that equals the possibility of new thoughts, new ideas, new opportunities, new connections. We have all things new today with the one energy. All is possible. Everything is possible. It all depends on where you are with your mind and what you will allow from the mind to be expressed in this particular day. There's no stopping here, right? There's no brake pedal. There's no stop sign. This energy is pure intention. And what do I want? Well, helping us with that one energy is the earth energy of the day, which is illuminating energy. In the Mayan calendar, this was Xuan, and Xuan was the monkey. Monkey energy is kind of humorous. It is about not taking life so seriously. It may be, you know, a little more lackadaisical energy, but it always sits back and looks into the illusion of what it is that we think we're doing, who we think we are, what we think is going on the planet. So we are during this time period, during this whole 13-day period of time, this evolution on the spiral of consciousness, we're able to cut away the false. And guess what? Recognize the truth, capital T truth. Sounds a little bit like Sagittarian energy, doesn't it? So this is our 13-day period over the umbrella or the overtone, as Pia told us last week, to be authentic in all that we endeavor to do, in everything that we say, in everything that we present to the world that is from us. We find our own authenticity. And the problem is, what does that mean? Right? We might be struggling with what does it mean to be authentic, to be in the truth? What does it mean to cut away illusion, right? So we're struggling to find our truth, to emerge out of that fog bank, if you will, out of the collective shadow, the collective fear energies, so that we can emerge into real truth, right? What's really true. So this will be a 13-day period of allowing the light to pierce through the darkness, to pierce through the illusion, right? To see with bigger eyes, to see with smarter eyes, let's say, wiser eyes, right? We're seeing through wisdom. We're seeing through truth. We're looking for that bigger T, truth. All right. There was something else I was going to say about that. It reminds me that the South Node and the North Node are still in the Human Design gates 12 and 11, with the South Node at gate 11, which, as Richard Rudd describes it in one of his talks on this gate 11, about even if there's just this little pinpoint of light, that if we focus on that light and bringing in enlightenment, illumination will happen, right? That illumination comes when we're focusing on what's in the light as opposed to what's in the dark. Remember that. All right. Questions about the Pleiadian Earth energy? Any questions about what we talked about last week with them as well? Because I think that's always kind of fun. Now you've had several days since we had that chat with Pia and Colin to see if there's any other issues that came up around that for you. J-Lo, I'm not sure what she means. The little chakra helper from this Taurus Earth Sun with Libra having the Virgo morning star points. Very interesting, knowing the power of behind things. Ah, yes. So the Venus star point, I did get a little bit of a moment to check that out this weekend, very little moments. But at the same time, one that I really did focus on quite much was the Virgo star point, because my friend Cornelia was asking me questions about it. And it's a pretty interesting one, right? That everybody should find their Venus star point. We'll be talking more about that as I learn more about it. But I really loved that whole conversation around that star point. Ah, she bought the book. So you've read up on yours as well. And Sylvester says he felt his crown chakra being activated last night and this morning, right? Maybe downloads coming in. Let's see. All right. So I'm going to switch over now to Human Design. And before I do that, I'm going to show a graphic here. Is it open? Yes, it is open. So let me share my screen with you and we'll take a look at what to expect for the next five or so days. This is week five in our Human Design, love, love, and more love, right? Love energy is a bigger organizing force or principle in the universe. And we are focused on that energy. Of course we are, because we're at the equinoxes. The turning of the seasons also puts us in the gates of love. Either we're at, in the, like this week, 4625, or we're at the 1510, or we're at the 1015, or we're at the 2546. Those are our four gates of love, and they're in different configurations through the four seasons. So the four seasons sort of act for us like a tuning fork, if you will, that reattunes us to love energy. And what is the love energy this time? Well, this turning of the season is about the sun at the gate 46, which is the gate of physicality, being in the body, the love of the physical, the love of your actual body, right? Your body temple, if you will. So the sun at gate 46, living a life of good fortune, is as easy as being in the right place at the right time. In other words, following your body's wisdom. Now, here's the funny thing about this gene key or sun at gate 46. In the gene keys, it is the shadow of seriousness, where we get very technical, very serious about what it is we're supposed to do, where we're supposed to be, who we're supposed to do it with. And we set off in a very Saturnian way toward that life path that we have in front of us. Well, look at the gift. The gift is totally different. It's the gift of delight, right? Delight, being in the light. The Siddhi is ecstasy, the highest expression of that. And it's interesting to me because these gates, these two gates are my design, sun and earth. And because it's that time that I was born, right around the summer solstice. And this was the design at the time of my birth. So I'm always struggling with this idea of purpose. Those of you born right around now, and I have a couple of clients that are born right around the September 22nd to 24th period of time, where this is their life, their conscious line, sun and earth, where they're always questioning, what is my life purpose, right? What am I here to do? Where am I here to go? When you look at this through the gene keys, Richard Rudd basically says, whatever it is you're doing in the moment that brings you happiness and joy is your life purpose, right? So a part of my experience even is whatever it is I'm engaged in is my life purpose. There isn't one specific thing that I'm meant to do or be, that it, a part of it is, as long as I'm having fun with it or I am delighting in it, that is enough. And every one of you has a gate 46. So even though it may not be your sun or your earth, you have it, right? It might be more inconsistent in your particular chart or your life, but right now it's defined, right? For the next 5 days, this is defined in your human design. So the question then becomes, am I too serious? Am I finding love in all that I'm doing? Is this become drudgery? Has this become a task, a menial task that I no longer want to do? I mean, it doesn't mean that there aren't sometimes those things, right? The determination to get in and do what we need to do, but it doesn't mean that we have to be so serious about it. It's just another stepping stone on the path to getting where we really want to be or getting what we want. Now, the earth raises the red flag a little bit here, right? The earth and the sun become challenged to evolve, right? They're evolving together. This is a system of the sun and the earth, with us living on the earth, being challenged to move more fully into our real truth on the planet. Well, the earth at gate 25 is in the gate of innocence, but this gate is more than that. This gate is about meeting life's initiations as a spiritual warrior, right? With love, with wonder, with the just open heart, open mind. The opposite gate of the 25 is 51, the gate of shock. And sometimes it is through something shocking that happens in our lives that we're able to attain this idea of acceptance and universal love. So the shadow here is constriction, where we shut down or we bring it in, where, you know, we contract instead of staying open. So constriction is the shadow, acceptance the gift, and universal love is the siddhi. So when we look at the love energy in the gate 46, what we see is the love of the body and being in the physical, but the honoring of the body as a temple of sorts, as the very first gift you had, right? The gift of the body. Determination and dedication in this particular gate comes out as good luck or serendipity, that being in the right place at the right time with the right people and the right opportunity. It's almost like following the physical, right? So many times we as spiritual people want to sort of ignore the physical, like somehow we're supposed to transcend the physical in order to be more spiritual. But this would seem to fly in the face of that, that being in the body, being in the physical gives us the opportunity, the vehicle through which we can orient ourselves in the right place, right? With the right people and the right opportunities. The earth at the gate 25 is the higher self, spiritual self, if you will. And this holds the potential to help others hold love. Say that 10 times fast. So the energy of the gate 25 is very open and loving energy. And in the aura of that energy of love, it helps other people also hold on to that energy. So being mystical and spiritual and in universal love energy has an aura about it that allows other people to also feel that same loving energy. So being aware then of this for the week, what are we putting out? Right? The energy that we're putting out, if it's love, allows others to feel that love and also then express that love to the outer world. And again, this is spiritual warrior energy, love and wisdom that empowers through love energy. Okay. Now I'm going to stop sharing and show another graphic of the actual body graph. I remembered to do that this morning so that everybody can see what that body graph looks like as a transit. So when we look at this, we see six of the nine centers defined, which means there might be a lot of places lit up in your own personal charts. So take your own chart now and compare it to this one, right? So if you have, like I do, the open 6124 in your natal or your natal human design, suddenly the ajna and the head are turned on by the 6124. This is a long-term changing of the mind, in that the gate 61 is where Pluto and Saturn are sitting, which brings us out of psychosis, that shadow of psychosis, and into the light of wonder and awe and the magic of the universe. And the gate 24, which is typically a gate of abstract thinking that kind of brings things into reality, kind of, what do we call that, realization energy. And it is Uranus that sits there. So for the time being, then we're being disrupted in our old psychotic patterns. It's almost like we can sit back and we can see now how psychotic everything that's been going on the planet is, right? And the fear and how that's been feeding into it. And the hope then is, the possibility is, that we can all go through a mind change, right? Elevating our consciousness here in the gates that we see in the head and the ajna. And again, here's our gate 11, right? The gate 11, the south node, reminding us that we once held the wisdom of our body, right? That we, and that there's more to life than what we've assumed or what we've thought. The sun and the earth, then the sun is at the gate 46, which sits on the identity center. So the white diamond or yellow diamond that you have in the center of your body graph, if yours is open, you are someone who has no easily identified identity, right? You kind of try on everybody else's identities. You know people deeply because you have this openness that sort of, if you look at what you're feeling, at what you're sensing, that's because you're likely fitting in with somebody else's identity. Then we have the earth. So we have the sun here at 46 and the earth at 25. And those two together are two of the four gates of love. The other two are the 10 and the 15, which, by the way, was where our north and south node were just the last quarter, right? Last quarter, we focused on that energy. This quarter, we're focusing on the 12 and the 22, sorry, the 12 and the 11, that are bringing us new ways of being open, of speaking to one another, sharing sort of cosmic truths that are coming in from outside of us, but is it really coming up from inside of us when we are attuned to bringing in that information? And let's see, the emotional center and the throat are connected via Neptune at 22 and the north node at gate 12. We've talked a bit about that over the last few weeks. What's new this week for us right this moment is that the 32 and the 54 are connected, which makes the root center and the spleen also defined for us. We have Mercury sitting at the gate 32, which is the gate of success. It is also a fear gate. Remember, Mercury's moving through all of these gates of the spleen before next week's sun moves into and begins the transit through the spleen center. So we have this sort of elongated period of time of dealing with the shadows on the planet. The sun's move next week takes us directly into those spleen gates, and we get to learn a lot about ourselves through the shadows that we experience, the fear energy. But all of this begins with Jupiter now sitting at gate 54, which is the gate of enlightenment, if you will. And let me say what I mean here, because it's interesting, don't you think, that enlightenment begins in the root center? But the root center is the pulse of energy that comes up from our connection to the earth and propels us outward. And so the gate 54 is the gate of ambition or drive or having goals to go out into the world. And right now it's going out toward the spleen, conquering those fears. The fear here is that we're going to fail, right? The fear at the gate 32 is about failure. Or in some people, maybe it's the fear of, what does it mean to succeed? What if I did succeed? What would that mean? And so there can be that fear here. And yet we're pushed out by Jupiter at 54 to embark upon that journey. And we first encounter it here in this particular week at the 32, which is about the fear of failure. This whole channel we call the channel of transformation, but it's actually kind of a channel of workaholism, where we can blindly keep working and enduring and persevering and using determination and tenacity to stick with a goal. Now, on one hand, that could be a good thing. But on the other hand, if what we're doing is bumping up constantly to something, is it a fear? Is it a block? Is it a limit? Is it a self-sabotage? Then we have to stop ourselves in order to be able to see more clearly, what am I doing? Where am I going? What do I want? All of those kinds of energies come up with this as well. So we have this very activated human design body graph this week. Lots of places where you can become complete. Like, I do not carry the gate 54 defined, nor do I carry 32 defined, but suddenly this week it's activated. And you know, I knew this was coming because yesterday I started to panic about all the things I had to do, which just pushed me to work almost the whole day yesterday. And which is fine. I have the energy to do it. But some of you might be projectors, or you might be manifestors, or you might be reflectors. And this energy is sort of alien to you. And you may overdo it because you feel like, wow, I could do this. I can get this done. So be ready and willing to remember what it is that you're here to do, your type, your strategy, your authority. And this is just borrowed energy for this particular time period. All right. Questions about all of that? I'm going to stop sharing. I thought I was going to stop sharing. There it goes. Tell me how you're feeling. Tell me what you're thinking. J-Lo. Yeah, I'm still waiting for my calendar too. I don't know why it's taking so long. That just doesn't seem right. Pauline says, I was born so close to winter solstice, and maybe this is why the natal chart is sun in the galactic center, right? Because the galactic center is right at the 26 or 27 degree mark of Sagittarius. So that's what would happen. Your sun would be, just as my sun is exactly opposite that point, the anti-galactic center, if you will. I see Sylvester and Leilani chit-chatting. That's great. And any other questions about anything? In the meantime, while I'm waiting to see if questions are going to pop up, let's draw a couple of cards for us for the week. And I felt this morning immediately like we needed an animal. Oh, spirit animal. There we go. And I think we need a wisdom of the oracle. So these are cards for the collective, as Allison must be at work. She hasn't been out there for the last couple of days. And I know that when she's out there, she says, pull a card for the collective. So that's what I'm doing this morning, pulling a card for the collective, an animal spirit card that can be our guide this week. Oh, wow. You just kind of flipped out there, didn't you? And interesting, it's card number 38, which is an 11, which is about enlightenment or illumination. And it is lizard energy, lizard spirit. And lizard spirit says, dream the world into being. Lizard spirit, right? Lizard spirit, dream the world into being. Let's see what that says. Number 38. I actually like this energy. Okay, so 38 says, and it was upright, so it's our regular message. And the oracle's message says, when was the last time you basked in the sun and allowed yourself to daydream, to imagine what might be and who you might become? Lizard spirit appears when you are called to let your imagination flow and dream something new. Inspiration is available to you now if you are willing to slow down and let your eyes close a little, allowing ideas to dance in your head. What might come into being if you were to pursue your dream? How might you grow and expand if you allowed yourself to dare to believe in the impossible, making it possible first in your dreaming mind and then in the world as you co-create with spirit? Give in to the power of imagination and soon your dream will become clearer. The steps will reveal themselves and what was ephemeral will begin to coalesce into form. Dream it and be it. Spirit asks you to dare to dream big. I mean, really, this popped out perfectly in tune with what we've been talking about this morning, where we may still be sort of sitting here feeling like we don't know what we want, right? So take the time to dream it and to be it. Love that. Okay, I always love it anyway when the cards mirror. It's even like the Pleiadian day where we're at the one, right? The initiation energy where we all is possible, right? Possibility plus intention, reality. It's magic. It's like being the magician and just going, voila, there it is. Okay, so let's pull a Wisdom of the Oracle card that can also be a guide for us in this particular week. Kind of feel like this is a good week, even though there's some, you know, transits that are a little dicey. We can do it. We've been through these before, by the way. The moon and Mercury, they move fast enough that these aren't alien energies that we're experiencing this week. Mending, card number 52, and it was upright. That sounds like a good card. Mending and 52 would make it a 7. And 52. All right. And it says, the essential meaning of the card is forgiveness, making amends and healing after arguments. The Oracle's message, each time we are hurt and allow the hurt to pass through us without understanding and integration, we accumulate an unwanted burden. This keeps us chained to the very things we need to heal, the pain, the memories, the echoes of resentments and the arguments that we rehearse over and over. Now is the time for mending rifts, healing wounds, and letting go of the old hurts in order to reclaim your power. Now is the time to forgive, to release, to make peace, and to make amends to others. Set yourself free. Woohoo! That is a really good card. All right. I think and believe that is it for me. This is going to be an interesting week. Tomorrow we actually have a guest coming on, Amy Colvin, my neighbor down the road who does Qigong. She's going to be coming on to help us stay in our bodies, right? To help us align our bodies with peace and to maybe help us with this Mars retrograde energy to get through some of that energy and be in the body, right? The physical body. I love that. Let's see. Wednesday, I will be on Angel Heart Radio with Annette McCoy. And for those of you who really love human design, this will be a good week for you to listen in. It is on at 5 p.m. Pacific, so 8 p.m. for those of you on the East Coast. And we're going to be talking about the fears of the spleen, right? What can we expect as we go into October and we start really seeing every week this new energy of a fear, a shadow, and how it is that we can overcome that shadow, how we can use that energy and value ourselves even more so that we can move, we can feel the fear and do it anyway, right? Whatever that is. And yeah, that'll be Wednesday night. And also Wednesday evening, right after that show, I'll be on with Anaya and Carol Ann, and we're going to be talking about the last installment in our solar plexus mutation energy. And that should be interesting, maybe helps get people a little bit clearer about the solar plexus and what changes are happening because of that. All right. That is it for me this morning. I hope you all take care. Have a wonderful day. I'll see you tomorrow morning. Bye for now.